Let's get straight to our callers that have lined up to join us here at Rosie on the House. Jake's next on the line. Wants to talk. We'll introduce you to our garden expert this Saturday morning, Mr. Eric Clark of Savano Nursery, located on South Houghton in Tucson. And I will say, I've been to many nurseries throughout the state. Savano's, I would put in the top three of just the variety, the size, the cleanliness, the entire presentation. When you walk into Savano's, it's one of the best in the state.
Thanks. We really try to keep it well organized and clean, and have a lot of product that isn't available at your other type stores.
Big box stores, right, is what we call them. Jack, good morning. Jake, how can we help you?
Yeah, the last couple of summers we've got silverfish in our house and have not been able to find any product to help get rid of them. You're wondering what suggestions you guys do.
Are you familiar with silverfish insects?
Yeah, they're not harmful necessarily. They are kind of pesky, and people don't like to see them. They're usually associated with the water in the house, in the bathrooms and the kitchens. So keeping it dry and clean. If you have any leaks, that's one thing that's going to keep them prevalent. But you could spray Captain Jack's dead bug in the house, perfectly acceptable and safe to use. If they get a portion of it on them, or if they eat it, that will kill them. But typically, keeping the area where you're seeing the silverfish, immaculately clean and dry can really help. Also, making sure that, any cracks and holes that might be coming in from the outside are sealed and secured, so that you don't get bugs infiltrating into the house. But they're not harmful. They're not going to hurt anybody. So that's at least the good thing. But that's about all you can really do for silverfish. Spray around those areas with Captain Jack's. That'll take care of them.
We appreciate the call. While we're on Captain Jack's, Matt texted in and wants to know if that'll work on the caterpillars and white flies that he's never been able to keep off his grapevines.
Yeah, it will. It works great on those grape leaf skeletonizers that get on the grape trees or grapevines. And then the white flies, it is very effective on white flies also. And you might also try some other products. Neem oil works really well on white flies. White flies are so tenacious, you can hit them at several different levels and get good control over them.
They're like gophers. You've got to attack with everything.
Right.
Send the infantry. Send the Air Force. Send the Navy. Right. You got to bring everything.
Yeah, they're really tenacious, and they like a lot of things in that hibiscus family, the cotton for one. If you've driven through a cotton field in the summertime, you got to wear a mask almost so you don't breathe in all these white flies. But Captain Jack's and or neem oil, even just insecticidal soap, is a really good control for white flies.
We appreciate the questions as we move now to Donna in Green Valley at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And real quick on Captain Jack's, there's multiple things. You can get a spray bottle. You can get one that you plug into your hose and spray.
Right.
There's several different applications.
Concentrate, yeah.
So yeah, just figure out how much you'll start small, because that goes a long way.
It does. And, I like to use in my garden in the summertime, when the mosquitoes really start to be pests. You can eliminate all those water sources, but still there's some hiding, especially like gutters during the monsoon season is a great place for mosquitoes to breed. So I'll spray my entire yard with that hose and sprayer of Captain Jack's, and it really helps knock the pests down, including mosquitoes, a lot of those caterpillars, gnats, all those annoying things that make you want to go inside during the summertime. Spray the whole yard down in the evening's best, so you don't affect some of the pollinators that we might want to attract to our garden. Once the Captain Jack's is dried, it's not going to affect pollinators. So that's a great way to control, those pests, so we can enjoy that outdoor time.
Good old Captain Jack. Donna, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. I have two questions for you. Once a Texas oak tree and the red tips are established when they're between 6 and 8 years old, can we take the drip line off of them?
Well, the red tip photinia is going to want some water, sustaining it for the rest of its life, but it doesn't need that much. Once every 10 days is fine. do it for a long, deep soak to help flush those salts out. Photinias are susceptible to iron chlorosis, which is caused by a buildup of salts in the soil, and it prevents the iron from getting into the plant. Easily controlled with deep waterings, and also you could use chelated iron to help control that. The red oak or the Texas oak is going to be very, very tough to our climate and doesn't need much water, but it's not exactly native at this elevation. So, you know, once or twice a month, deep watering during the summer months is going to help it keep it looking good and vibrant.
And keeping the tree healthy is the best way to prevent insect and disease invasion.
Right, because borers are on the lookout for drought-stressed trees. And even mesquite trees can become drought-stressed. If we go through a severe drought like we're used to here in Arizona, that can allow the bugs in. If the tree doesn't have the hydraulic pressure to push the borers out because it's drought-stressed, they will succumb to borers. So you don't want to not water these non-native trees that much, but they don't need water every day, that's for sure. So once every 10 days is fine on an oak and a photinia.
We appreciate the call. Let's move to Britton in Tucson. Wants to talk about some creepy crawlies around her house. Good morning, Britton.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling because I had my teeny tiny, like, piss ants, I guess is what you call them, or teeny little ants in the house. They get into, like, the bathroom, or I've seen them in the dishwasher.
Yeah, they're a big problem. I mean, they're not going to hurt anybody, and they are called piss ants or ammonia ants. If you crush them, they will smell like ammonia. So they are after water and sugar. And so you really want to keep the kitchen clean because, you know, if there's a little drip of honey on the bottom of the honey jar, they're going to find it. And they're going to get into your house and go after any of that food source. So keep it really clean. Also make sure that any holes or areas where they can get in are sealed.
Now, are these little piss ants the ones that can actually go over diatomaceous earth without being affected?
Yeah, diatomaceous earth works to a degree, but if it gets wet, it's not going to work anymore. And if it's got a lot of traffic over it, it's pretty soon not going to work as well. Captain Jack's dead bug will kill piss ants or ammonia ants and any ants, and fire ants included. It's a great product to control fire ants, which will actually hurt you. The ammonia ants are just going to annoy you. But the fire ants will sting you, and it feels like fire. So, you know, if you have fire ants in your lawn, you have children, they get stung by them. I mean, Captain Jack's is a good way to control all those ants, including the harvester ants and cutter ants that are a big problem in the garden.
That's an insect you just have to be prepared for. When the rains come out, it's like they
– Right.
Were they dormant? I mean, all of a sudden you've got anthills everywhere after a rain.
Well, that's when the new queens are going to be sent out into the world to dig new holes. And, you know, you don't want to dig holes unless the ground is wet. So when the monsoon shows up, that's when these ants go into hyper overdrive and start to find new locations. So even when we spray ants in our garden, know that it's only temporary control. A new generation is going to fly in the next summer. There's no eradication.
I heard a statistic one of our pest control experts gave when they joined us about 2 years ago, I'm going to say. The biomass of ants is greater than the biomass of humans.
That's true, yeah.
That's a lot of ants.
Yeah.
You're not going to get rid of them, like you said. You just got to be prepared to battle.
Control is all we can hope for.
That's a scary statistic. And for some of our callers that have called in today, Britton was dealing with ants in his bathroom. And was it Jack that had the silverfish in his home? There are pest control companies that do have treatment if you've just given up on the interior. And we've got a brand new company to the Rosie on the House Network in Tucson, University Pest Control. But they've been in Arizona servicing since 1974. So you got resources like that at rosieonthehouse.com that you can find when it comes inside the home for professional treatment as well. If you've just, you know, the ants and the insects. That's all they have to do right. all day to figure it out. Some weekends and evenings sometimes isn't enough for homeowners to fight that battle, or even if they right. have the inclination or desire to do it.
And a lot of those pest control companies do use chemicals that are less toxic. So it's a good way to go if you don't want to do it yourself.
Now, back to the growing season. Arizona, from what all archaeological discovery can tell, the oldest inhabited place is right here in Tucson, the Santa Cruz River. Our guest in the 7 o'clock hour talked about 4,000 years we can trace back the civilization yeah. because of the river in Tucson and the climate, the water resource availability. What are we growing right now for vegetables?
Well, you know, right now we're getting into the summertime, so we can grow any of those warm season crops, tomatoes, peppers, melons, beans. And traditionally in Tucson, the summer planting season would start on June 24th, which is St. John the Baptist Day, which is a historical, legendary day in Tucson. And it was traditionally the start of the monsoon season. You know, before hoses, people couldn't just go out and water. They had to wait for the water to come to them. So June 24th was always the start of the planting season, because then the monsoon's here, we've got the water and the humidity's up, and a lot of plants do much better during the monsoon than trying to make it through May and June with the low humidity and the high heat. But if you plant right now, get them started, you can keep them alive through that May-June sort of season, which is a real
tough. Because we have hoses now.
Right, we have hoses now. But you'll still get better production even with the hoses during the monsoon because the humidity is up. So if you're struggling with keeping vegetable gardens going this time of year, just remember, don't give up. And then start again at the end of June as those monsoon storms start to roll in.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.